Welcome to the Diderikson Art Museum podcast. In the heart of Sibelius Park in Turku, Helsinki, stands the iconic Sibelius Monument. It's an abstract sculpture that from a distance looks almost like a silver cloud floating above a rocky patch set among trees and towering up toward the sky. Looking more closely, you can see that it's comprised of hundreds of pipes, together forming a wave-like pattern which some have described as resembling birch trees. There are, in fact, 600 welded stainless steel hollow pipes that make up the Sibelius Monument. Close up or from a distance, the sculpture impresses with its massive size. But despite its size, it weighs over 24 tons, stands 8.5 meters high by 10.5 meters long, and 6.5 meters deep. It still seems airy and light, an illusion created in part by the fact that it stands on just three legs. The sculpture can be experienced from underneath and invites visitors to take part in its sound and skyscape. From under the monument, you can look up through the monument's massive hollow pipes and watch the clouds passing by overhead as if in a dream. It's details like this that make the cathedral-like sculpture come to life for the people who experience it. My name is Tom Wright. And today we'll talk about the sculptor who envisioned and created the Sibelius Monument, Eila Hiltunen. We'll speak with her son, Marko Pietinen, with Diderikson Art Museum director Maria Diderikson, and with Jenny Diderikson, granddaughter of museum founders Marie-Louise and Gunnar Diderikson. Thanks for joining us, Marko. Can you tell us about your mother as an artist?
Well, she was 100% artist. Nothing but artist most of the time. She believed in herself, and her talent and her track record proves that she was right. She had been doing figurines out of clay from about 4 years old. And at school, her teacher always gave her a piece of clay to work on just to keep her happy. She was very impulsive, very energetic, very self-conscious, egotistic, some people might say, and that's what artists have to be because they are working in an uphill situation most of the time. She was outspoken, exuberant, spoke six languages fluently, so a cosmopolitan, and that's why the Finnish Foreign Ministry was glad to support her foreign exhibitions as a kind of an unofficial cultural ambassador. And she took the stage wherever she was.
Maria, thanks for joining us. Who is Eila Hiltunen from the perspective of the Finnish art world?
Eila Hiltunen is definitely one of Finland's foremost sculptors of her time, with public sculptures all around the world, and she has more commissions than any other Finnish artist.
While Eila Hiltunen was a versatile artist with artworks all around the world, this episode is focused on her masterwork, the Sibelius Monument, which was created in honor of Jean Sibelius, widely regarded as Finland's greatest composer. In 1959, 2 years after the death of Jean Sibelius, the newly founded Sibelius Society proposed an art competition for a monument that would be unveiled on the composer's 100th birthday in 1965. In a tough two-stage competition, Eila Hiltunen was chosen to be the creator of the monument, so she became the first woman artist in Finland to receive a commission for a National Heroes Monument. Her goal was to depict the spirit of Sibelius's music, and she proceeded to put everything she had as an artist into its creation.
For instance, when we talk about Sibelius Monument, she had a childhood dream about a space object that was gleaming in silvery tones, landing on a meadow. And she pursued that idea when she was creating the monument.
It took more than six arduous years to complete the work, from 1961 to 1967. During which Marko and his sister Pia have explained that she listened to Sibelius records constantly while working. She literally turned music into physical art, metaphorically embodying the composer's life's work. Marko, Can you tell us about that process?
The first sketches for the monument were made at our home studio in Munkkiniemi, Helsinki, up until late 1963, when the site was moved to Lauttasaari, to a huge terrifying shack in which the equestrian statue for Marshal Mannerheim had been done before. It belonged to the Finnish Sculptors Association. You know, places like graveyards, lumberyards, shipyards are really, really cold workplaces in the winter, and this was no exception because the huge doors had to be open most of the time as the materials were transported in and out with a rather primitive hoist system. So no use with the boiler that was there, and only cold water. And in the first winter, the pipes were frozen and so forth and so on. So very primitive conditions. And the two people that were behind the monument, my mother and welder Emil Kukkonen, they admirably performed in those conditions. My mother ate only chicken broth or some kind of food supplement that had been developed for spacemen during the daytime. And that kept her going because she had problems with her blood sugar. It was either too low or too high. And when it was too low, then she started to rage.
There was some negative public opinion about the style of the monument, which must have been hard to endure while putting so much into the project.
Our family was never as welded together as then. But sadly, my grandmother died in 1963, and she and her daughter were extremely close, and the coincidence of this tragedy and the public campaign against the monument that really went into my mother's nerves. So we had to censor the incoming mail so that she would not sort of fall into depression every single day.
Having been so closely a part of the entire process during those 6 years, how do you see the Sibelius Monument?
I think Sibelius Monument is absolutely number one because of the dedication and pain and time she spent with it. And that was the time when the family was closely knit around her to support her. I, of course, was a teenager of 14 when it all started, and I couldn't care less. But when it ended, I was 20. And I had been working on the site during a couple of summers.
What do you feel when you see the Sibelius Monument today?
I do not visit the monument very often because I kind of fear that my emotions would overwhelm, or I would start informing total strangers about the nitty-gritty of how it was made, and probably meet some empty stares from these people. Of course, I feel that it was a huge success, and I feel that it's a crown jewel for the city of Helsinki, just like the Church in the Rock, which was simultaneous and met equal opposition from the public at large. During the construction. It's remarkable that these two main attractions of Helsinki emanate from the same year of 1967. A switch must have been turned in people's heads after those two, because subsequent big enterprises have not been as vehemently opposed.
So both projects faced a lot of opposition.
The media was full of very, very poignant criticisms and opinions. And of course, the opposition also came from envious colleagues in both cases. The architect brothers who designed the Church in the Rock reported how bad it was for them afterwards. It's as if the colleagues think that you were granted this project, now it's our turn. But does a composer stop composing because the previous piece happened to be a masterpiece? No, he wants to go on. And the same is with all artists. A true artist will never stop. My mother did her final work on her deathbed, designing jewelry 1 week before she died.
Her art was an incredibly important part of her life. In her book, The Voice of a Human, there's a great passage where she said that she felt like the ancient god of fire and forging, Hephaestus or Vulcan, creating her pieces straight out of metal. She described having written thousands of kilometers of flame arcs with her welding tip on the Sibelius Monument as she gave every pipe its surface treatment. I mean, she described the rapture she felt in doing her work as the hour of the tiger, which I think is fascinating, when she felt like she was rising and coalescing with the universe. I think these things are incredible. I mean, she really enjoyed the sensory experiences related to welding, the noise and even the smell of metal gasification, but it was actually quite hazardous to inhale and meant that later in her career she had to change her technique.
Unfortunately, her health deteriorated from the welding gases, and she could not return to the gas welding, which was her favorite method and the most expressive method. So the post-Sibelius Monument welded works were largely put together by helping hands. Just looking at the equipment she had to wear, which started with just the black welder's glasses and ended with a huge spaceman's helmet where extra oxygen was pumped for her to breathe and which weighed about 10 kilos on her narrow shoulders, it was really too hard for anybody to sustain.
That's a remarkable commitment. I also assume that at that time in the society, women artists weren't getting as many monumental sculpture commissions as men were.
After the Second World War, there was a demand for large sculpture in this country because most municipalities wanted to erect a monument for their fallen war heroes. And despite the post-war poverty, it was actually a field day for sculptures because hundreds and hundreds of such monuments were erected. And my mother was able to elbow herself in to this predominantly male profession, which was seen as masculine and requiring Herculean powers, Wäinö Aaltonen being the towering example.
The work of creating the Sibelius Monument took longer than anticipated, and the inauguration of the work, titled Passio Musicae, was held on September 7, 1967, nearly 2 years after the centenary of Sibelius. It was a historical event for Finnish society, and the president of Finland, Urho Kekkonen, along with Finland's political, cultural, and business elite, attended. Markku, can you share some of your memories about the inauguration day of the monument?
Well, by the standards of the day, it was a huge event. I don't remember how many hundred people attended. I think about 600 in a rather confined space. And yes, the speeches were solemn and long. The music was Sibelian. In fact, they performed a piece of Sibelius that had never been heard since 1890s. And yes, then there was the walk around, and my mother was surrounded by a cheering crowd and who wanted to touch her and congratulate her. She was carrying a bunch of roses, and she didn't know whether to cry or laugh or smile, and she did all that simultaneously, crying for joy, crying for the pain of losing her baby, so to speak, and also a little bit anxious about what was to come after that, because she realized that her life would be filled with emptiness after such a long project. And this emptiness then had a solution already in the back pocket, because she had purchased this medieval ruin in Tuscany 2 weeks before the inauguration. And for the next few years, that was her main project. And that goes for my father as well. 1 year he drove 70,000 kilometers between Finland and Italy back and forth with half-finished sculptures in his sedan, and the leather seats looked just like that. We will see three of these works for the first time in Finland in over 50 years, as they were rescued from the tower when it was sold in 2019.
The Sibelius Monument has become a landmark, and ever since its unveiling, it has attracted visitors from around the world. It's one of Helsinki's most popular sculptures and one of the most well-known tourist attractions, with hundreds of thousands of tourists flocking to it every year. Often state visits include a tour of the monument. In 1976, Queen Elizabeth also visited the monument, along with Urho Kekkonen, president of Finland, during her first state visit. And this is where the sculptor and the queen met. Can you tell us a bit about your mother's meeting with the queen?
I was living in the USA at the time of the Queen's visit in 1975. So, of course, an exchange of phone calls with my mother, and she was very enthusiastic. But several heads of state had visited the monument before. So for her, that was a familiar situation, except for the royal bow she had rehearsed. There was an army of press photographers who made that bow famous. Almost two decades later, on a second encounter, again in Helsinki, the Queen instantly recognized my mother. There's actually one of her works in the Queen's private collection.
That is quite impressive. Eila Hiltunen's centennial exhibition is at the Diederichsen Art Museum. Tell us about your mother's relationship with Marie-Louise and Gunnar Diederichsen, and a bit more about the exhibition, and what you think it might have meant to her.
I understand that it was a very, very, very mutual and warm relationship from the very beginning. And I know that the Diederichsens also took my father as an equal into this equation. And they actually, there was a joint exhibition of my father's work and my mother's work at the museum.
And what do you think she would think about the centennial exhibition?
First of all, she would be happy at the fact that it's held at the Diederichsen Museum and nowhere else, because that was a kind of a safe haven for her from 1960s onwards. Secondly, she would probably have matured to realize that what she had achieved was quite a lot, although she during her lifetime always felt that there were so many missed opportunities and she could have done so much more. And yes, I think she would accept the fact that even if humans are mortal, some of their work is immortal, and that's what her sculpture is all about. And she was living in a time when conceptual art and you know, exploding art and disappearing art and all these digital things were in nobody's minds. She thought that sculpture is forever, that without sculpture we would not know how ancient civilizations lived, and she wanted to carry on that tradition. And I think through that exhibition, she would see that she had succeeded. And I think that we are still on an ascent in terms of her reputation, both in Finland and internationally. There's still a lot to be done. My sister and I, we've done our part. We're expiring sooner or later, and we don't want to pass this task on to the third generation. But I think this centennial exhibition is the milestone that we have been working for.
I know that you and your sister Pia have been doing a massive amount of work in maintaining the legacy that your mother left. Could you share a little bit of what it means in practice for descendants of artists in your experience? I mean, it's a very large commitment.
Well, when Ella Hiltunen, my mother, died, my sister and I found ourselves in a new situation, kind of a vacuum or emptiness, and then the world gradually shifted into a new position. We realized we have a huge task ahead with all the physical matter and all the documentation that was there in an old house in total disarray, because our mother was not a very organized person. So we had to filter through everything and item by item determine whether it was trash or a diamond, and they were mingled. There are many aspects to this kind of estate work, which in our case included two buildings, one in Munkkiniemi, the other in Italy, which we took care of for 19 years. And I think this the centennial exhibition is the sort of culmination of this work. I should also mention that without my father's photos, and I have scanned some 5,000 of them, the centennial exhibition would be much poorer visually and information-wise.
So he really cataloged moments and objects and...
Well, he called my mother the most photographed sculptor of the world, and I think he had every right to say so, because this started from 1943 when they first met. Click, 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 on every possible instance.
The Diederichsen Art Museum had a long-standing relationship with Ella Hiltunen and her art. Maria and Jenny, could you tell us about that and how it began?
Ella Hiltunen made this sculpture of three dancing figures, which she called A la Russe. And she made two versions of it. One was sold to a private collector in the States, and the other one was placed in the Turku City Theater. And it appeared in a weekly magazine, which Marie-Louise happened to see. And she was so impressed with the movement and with that sculpture that she thought, hey, I have to have one just like it. So she looked up Hiltunen's phone number in the directory and just called her and said, oh, please, can I order a similar sculpture? And Ella Hiltunen was quite impressed by that. And so it was finalized and she took the order over the phone.
Ella has also said about that it's very rare for someone to actually commission a work that they have only seen in a magazine. So like my mom said, she was very impressed by that. And actually there were many similarities between my grandmother and Ella Hiltunen, both in personality but also in physical appearance. Both were sort of these tiny brown-haired women, always elegantly dressed, but very strong and powerful, and even to some extent feisty. So you really couldn't mess with either of them. And I would say there was a sort of mutual respect, and even to some extent sort of admiration for each other. So I think that's why they really got along well.
After the acquisition of this A la Russe sculpture, followed many more, and also a tight relationship between these two females. Ella Hiltunen was an often seen guest at the Villa Didriksen together with her husband, Otso Pietinen, the photographer who depicted her work.
My grandparents became friends with many artists because they started supporting many up-and-coming artists. And so the museum became a sort of safe haven to some of these artists. And my grandparents supported them by acquiring their art, but also organizing their exhibitions. And one of these artists was Ella Hiltunen.
Crescendo, which is also by Ella Hiltunen, is in the sculpture park at the Didriksen Art Museum. It has a special significance to the museum and to the Didriksen family. Can you both tell us about that?
The large sculpture named Crescendo, with like an organic growth of leaves up towards the sky, is placed in a very, very central spot at the museum. When you enter the museum, you can't really miss it. Gunnar Didriksen bought it from Ella Hiltunen in 1989 to honor his wife Marie-Louise Didriksen, who had passed away the year before. There's a plate on the base saying that in memoriam, Marie-Louise Didriksen.
My grandmother had actually fallen in love with that particular sculpture many years before, and she tried to acquire it from Ella Hiltunen, but at the time, Ella Hiltunen didn't dare to let go of that piece. I assume it was important for her as well. But then when my grandfather approached Ella Hiltunen after my grandmother's passing, she found it very beautiful, and she wanted to honor my grandmother with the sculpture. So she was ready to let go of it at that time. Crescendo, for me, is one of the most important pieces that we have in the Didriksen collection, because to me it symbolizes the love that my grandparents had for each other, but also their joint love for art. And I mean, it is a central piece in our collection, and it's permanently on display in the sculpture park. So every time I pass it, this is what I think of. So it really gives me a lot of joy.
What was the last exhibition of her work at the Didriksen Art Museum?
There was an exhibition by Ella Hiltunen in 2001 at the Didriksen Art Museum, which ended up being her final exhibition because she passed away 2 years later. The exhibition was a retrospective showing her work from her youth years until the year 2000.
I was a little girl when we had that exhibition. I think I was 11 years old, and I still remember it. It made a deep impression on me because of all these sort of monumental sculptures. And I remember the opening day as well. I believe Ella was in a wheelchair. And I mean, as a little girl and knowing that she had made the Sibelius monument, and, you know, she was a very famous and well-known artist. So it was really an honor for me to meet her. And I still remember that moment when I shook her hand.
Maria, tell us about the Centennial Exhibition.
The exhibition of Ella Hiltunen's works at the Didriksen Art Museum, taking place in the autumn of 2022, is to honor her work. And we are displaying works from the 1940s until 2000. And there are both figurative works as well as abstract art, also works from her cubistic period. And she also made jewelry and medals, and they are displayed also. Some of her monumental work, which are placed around the world, are also represented in the exhibition through photographs and video shows.
What does it mean to you to have this exhibition at the Didriksen Art Museum?
It's a great honor for the Didriksen Art Museum to host this exhibition of works by Ella Hiltunen. She has played such a significant role in the art field and bringing, for example, to the sculpting world here, she has brought a contrast to the minimalism with her decoration, the abundance and liveliness and splendor. And people know the Sibelius Monument, but maybe they're not so aware of what else she has done.
Marie and Jenny, if Marie-Louise and Gunnar Diedrichsen could see the exhibit now, how do you think it would make them feel?
I think my parents-in-law, Marie-Louise and Gunnar Diedrichsen, would cry of joy to see this exhibition and to know and to see how Ella Hiltonen's artwork is appreciated today, and also how famous she has become.
I think that it really is the combination of nature, architecture, and art, all these elements, and to actually have Ella Hiltonen's sculptures sitting out there in nature, they really come to their right. It's almost as if they would have always been there. They kind of sort of belong there. So it almost feels like she's come home. And if her soul is somewhere there, I think that she also would be very happy to know that this is where her centennial exhibition was held.
Thank you, Marco. Thank you, Maria. And thank you, Jenny. Ella Hiltonen made hundreds of artworks comprised of sculptures, medals, plaques, and jewelry during her seven-decade creative career. Her photographer husband, Otso Pietinen, documented her artistic life journey, leaving a legacy of thousands of photographs depicting her in her element. The photographs, along with the remarkable body of work, create a fascinating portrait of a gifted artist. Her works can be found around the world in France, Canada, the USA, Germany, Italy, and even in Iran and Saudi Arabia. The Sibelius Monument was Ella Hiltonen's magnum opus. Thank you for listening to this episode. Ella Hiltonen's centennial exhibition, Poetry of Matter, takes place at the Diedrichsen Art Museum in Helsinki from September 2022 until January of 2023. The music used in this episode is Finlandia by Jean Sibelius, performed by the Helsinki Philharmonic Orchestra and conducted by Leif Segerstam.